16th is a big day. The Mormons have started their thrust now because the law, the federal law, now reads, one of them, that you cannot have more food stored than a 3-month supply. So we've got to talk a lot between now and the time they start really making their confiscations about how do you shelter whatever you have. Apparently, there are some grandfathered clauses that if you've already stored stuff, they can't make you get rid of it. But if they need supplies, they know where to go to get them. And this sort of regulation written into the laws. The Mormons, however, where they have always not only preached this, taught this, but insisted that if you were, quote, a good Mormon, you always had no less than one full year supply for your entire family of foodstuffs. Plus, they wanted you to have a 3-year supply. And preferably they call them shelters, bomb shelters, when they first started building them, but an underground place where you could keep your stored supplies. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes in Salt Lake, for instance, that just was part of the building. They just built a underground storage place. So they are now telling them that they will stop and reduce their food, use it, whatever, to the 3-month allowance. And so I'm sure that you will be getting at some point, not too distant future, a list of how much you can have, which will be considered not hoarding. Here is where your corporations will begin to work well. If your business is in the food storage supplies, then you can undoubtedly have some on hand. If you are running a Costco market, if you have a major warehouse, that is your business, so you can have an abundance stored there. Not stored, but that's inventory. This is the same way with gold. You're going to be able to hold on to gold if you're colloidalizing it to some extent, a reasonable amount. If you are a jeweler and you have gold, then they're going to let you alone. If you have a company. Now beware of what is coming out of the Republic of Texas. They have announced that they are a republic, you know. The patriot element. But now that we've got a gold certificate that is in contractual form and is spread all over the globe, now look what this little Republic of Texas is going to do. They are going to put forth another one of these farm programs where only now you get to put in $2,000 to sign up with this Republic of Texas program plan. And it's going to be funded in $100 million increments, yes. And somehow that is supposedly out of China somewhere. Beware of this. That is the same thing as the Schweitzer program in Montana, only on a bigger scale. And basically set up by the same confounded maverick people who literally ruined it for Schweitzer. Be careful what you do. They're closing her down on you. Do you really think that Dole is the president for the rest of your existence in the United States of America? These people get up and what do they argue over? Nothing. Which is the best kind of ice cream to have. Now look what they've done this week to the welfare system. Well, we need to have some changes made in the welfare system. We're tired of feeding, This is a public speaking, and we're sick of aliens crossing the border and going to school. Well, what do you want? It's hard enough when you don't speak the same language. What are you trying to accomplish? Ignorance is what is exactly what is trying to be accomplished. Now, who are the most notoriously recognized people over here on the welfare system rolls? In every state, it is the black single family mothers with anywhere from 3 to 6 children on welfare. The husbands cannot even afford to live with them. So what happens now? In 2 years maximum, you've got to put these women to work. Can they really go out there and turn hamburgers or clean houses at minimum wage and feed 5, 6 kids? Not on your honkers. No way. 2 years maximum for, get this wording, for lifetime recipients, it's 2 years now. Well, does that mean that all the lifetimes end in 2 years, or what are we talking about? Well, a little of both. But what happens to those kiddies? Nobody is going to allow even the U.S. government to starve little kids. So what's going to happen? Well, we can't afford the welfare system, and this mother won't work. What comes next? The state takes the children. And now you have built in your communist Nazi program for indoctrinating the kids. Put them in a uniform, put them in a commune, give them a lot of trauma, a lot of emotional trauma, which they were already getting at home. No stability, and you've got an army. So all you've got to do is keep your eyes open, and you can see it closing down. Can you turn it around? Yes, you could, because that's a valid gold contract. Mr. Bush was using it, and they siphoned off billions, and you can tell that it was done by the lack of anybody with guts enough to even respond. They're being shut down. They murdered Papandreou. They worked out a deal with Latsis, head of the mafia in Greece, to not honor any of this yet. Unless some way it swings around and Bush is not willing to admit that it exists yet, although the word comes back still, well, we're not interested any longer. In other words, we've worked it out. They murdered, and it will come back here. Oh, Mr. Amschel Rothschild III hanged himself, committed suicide in Paris. Paris police said he was murdered. Plastered all over the papers. He was murdered. Well, of course he was murdered. And guess what? His bank was losing money. He had siphoned off so much being covered by the Bush contract that he went down the same way that Barings went down. Credit Lyonnais went down. 3 banks in Japan and a 4th one going down, Sumitomo. And you can't even get the head of Sumitomo to call you back, man. They're so scared. So everybody says, well, what are we doing? And nobody answers and nobody this. And oh, my God, you cannot imagine what all is going on and the desperation to shut it down. These are high-level, political, influential people being murdered while they work out this new world order. So it has to just keep moving. Just keep moving. Keep putting them out there. You cannot do business with your enemy. Look what Mr. Perry is saying about Saudi Arabia. Get ready. There are going to be more bombings in Saudi Arabia. We've got to get the Americans out of there so the American families and people are moved out. Getting ready to blow up the rest of your military people over there. And you can counter it happening right away because Mr. Perry has said it will. And that is your Defense Department. Will you turn it around? Not as it is. But you certainly have the capability, and that's why we had to make a claim against the banks. So I don't want to hear very much about anything that maybe has been done wrong, because so much has been done that nobody, except the three or four people in this room who've done it day and night, file claims. Well, I should really let Rick tell you, but Rick put together these incredibly monstrous documents while EJ was putting together corporate structures and accounts and things in Greece, so that you can work with treaty nations offshore. But claims are now lodged against the U.S. Treasury Department, three forms of the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank, the World Bank, RUBA, who will become trustee of the United States of America's bankruptcy, already is doing it. Nobody listened. You've been bankrupt since 1933 when they confiscated the gold. And the Federal Reserve has owned you. Well, now the Federal Reserve has announced they will not extend the U.S. debt. What does that mean? It means they're all going down. So in a bankruptcy, you just go right ahead and try to cash these, because the U.S. is going to collapse. The feds are going to collapse. Fine. That means that this trusteeship has to move to the World Bank. And we intend to stay one step ahead of them. Does that mean they're ever going to honor it? Who knows? But it can't go away. So that if they refuse to honor it now, someday, the legacy will be to your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Somebody, somewhere, is going to discover, just like this note was discovered and found, and the evil elements of your empire made it so and used it. So it became an absolutely something, you know, this plausible denial. It went past, no return. They cannot plausibly deny it. Mr. Benson, that's Lloyd. Mr. Greenspan, that's Allen. Mr. Bush. Mr. Baker III. Ollie North. All of them tried everything in their power to get this document signed over, because when it came time to produce the document, it had been brought forward and it had been publicly recorded. So they would have to get a sign-off on it. And that's why we have had to take the paper and make it a public notice, so that someday your great-grandchildren will find this note and that it will be good. Because you've now lodged your public notices and claims against these major places. That just blocks, 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 blocks. It doesn't mean they're going to pay a dime. It means it's just almost impossible. And I say almost simply because by sheer force, they can destroy it some way. But this gets it out of the United States of America, so even your Congress can't vote it out. So I have to tell you that the honesty of the moment is that the lawyers are so focused on tomorrow, the Eckers have not had time. And Rick got his legal work done and these other things done. And there's more to be done on this, but it can sit for a while, at least until this other court matter is settled, or you get another interruption, whichever comes first. So some massive movements, efforts are being made in South America. I'm not going to name the state. And everything is structured now so that whatever flows can flow, not necessarily back into this U.S., ever, as they would expect it to flow. It can flow from there to Europe. And then venture capital funds can be, quote, loaned out, money purchased up front. But it is a massive job. And it's taking some very gutsy people outside of these three to go ahead and do it, just to get it out there. And they're working on it in South Africa. There are some very, very strong Chinese connections. And that's why you see something comes in from the sovereign state of the Republic of Texas, which nobody recognizes except the four or five that set it up. Mr. Jackson was one of them, and that, you know, he didn't get to sign that. He just set up the Supreme Court. But the same people that got involved with Schweitzer and got involved in setting up the Republic of Texas, all the same people. Now, do you think that they are in it for the sovereignty of Texas while they are selling shares for $2,000 a piece to come in to get something for nothing? So we'll just have to play it out and remember that God wins. But a lot of frogs have to be kissed. And a lot of times winning doesn't look like winning. So we have to just go with what happens. Would anybody like to question on anything so far? Or can we move into reading a couple of writings that I feel important? We need some more. Spiritual shoring up. We've got some hard stuff ahead.
Ed, do you have anything?
All
right, this is a good time for it.
Are you going to read Lantos?
Yes, indeed. And one before that.
I want to share something with you. Lanto is Dharma's most favorite ray. Lanto has been a very, very close teacher. And I want her to know before you read, because she's not had any opportunity to look at any of the documents. But the yellow today is for Lanto. It made her heart feel good, so she said, "Dad, today I'm going with yellow, me and Lanto." And so I wanted to share that before we get into this golden ray, this yellow ray, this sunshine.
Thank you, Commander. I have a couple things to note before I start these two writings. The first one is for some local and some people out there in tape land who are receivers of the Seismo Watch newsletter. We haven't talked too much today yet about what's going on in the earthquake department and the volcano department, but things continue to heat up. Sounds like an old tape, but as you watch them from week to week, things are not leveling off. They're getting worse. Up in the San Francisco Bay Area, for instance, I've been watching for the last 6 to 8 weeks a large series of quakes inland from Monterey along the San Andreas Fault from Parkfield all the way up practically to San Jose in that area there. And I've been waiting to see the forward progress of those quakes as train cars would move, say, up the San Andreas and then up the East Bay Faults at that splitting junction there, moving up into those heavily populated areas. Well, the middle of this week, that quake activity started moving on up into the Bay Area. There's been no mention of it on the Bay Area news or anything, and yet you see the quakes moving up into these populated areas now in an alarming fashion. I don't want to say any more about it than that, except that that does not portend well for the San Francisco Bay Area. Next, and related to that, very curiously, there's a newsletter that a guy by the name of Charlie Watson puts out from his post at the University of Reno in Nevada, and it's an excellent publication called Seismo Watch, and we've plugged it in contact several times over the last couple of years. Well, all of a sudden, And I've honored him because he's been, as I said in the past, the guy who, when the newspapers in the Bay Area or elsewhere say, well, can't you tone down your earthquake data that you send us to put in the paper, he says, no, I won't fudge the data. This is how bad it looks, and this is, if you don't want to subscribe to my service, then that's fine, but I'm not changing the data. Well, I don't know whether this is just coincidence or more, but all of us who received the SeismoWatch newsletter received a bright red postcard in the mail this week saying that Advanced Geologic Explorations, publisher of SeismoWatch, has accepted an opportunity with a cable company to play SeismoWatch graphics and information on television. They hold a substantial presence in the television market, is the nation's leading cable television distributor, blah, blah, blah. Well, the point is that for the next 8 weeks, SeismoWatch will not be publishing. Period. Now, I don't know. When Time Magazine decides to put a special on TV and that, they don't shut down their operation for 8 weeks. So nobody gets Time Magazine. So I find it either a very interesting coincidence or a distractor that Charlie Watson should know better than to have fallen for at this critical time. So I don't know which it is, but SeismoWatch newsletter will be unavailable for the next 8 weeks, which is curious, to say the least. The next thing is, I've been hearing about a number of blackouts in different locations around the country. The one that is most vivid for me right now is one that my own mother called about yesterday, and the description of this was in downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. All of the power went out, including emergency power, Friday afternoon for several hours. Now, you have large buildings like the U.S. Steel Building and that, 50-some stories high. No emergency power for elevators or anything. So all the backup power, batteries, everything was out. Underground, we'll call them tramways or transportation systems, completely dead for several hours. These, I guess, one could interpret as little bits of natural disaster warfare going on in key locations, or maybe test cases for larger blanketings of larger cities one of these days soon.
Yes, just a few days ago. Well, a few days in my counting. In the afternoon, there was, quote, a blip. Everything went down. Not even long enough to kill the clocks. But I wanted it to be noticed. So when the surge hit, the alarm goes off. And it also is the same frequency that sets off the alarm just prior to an earthquake. I want at least my people in that building, that house, to hear and take note when I have something that I really must show them. And it came along almost the same time as the blue ball of lightning. In the afternoon, I had them document the time, because you're going to find that the entire of the United States was down for that few moments of time. The entire United States, hear me. And that means into parts of Canada. That means they can do it. And if they handle it properly for their own benefit, they can do just as easily as turning off all your grid. They can shut down so that none of your backup power will work simultaneously. And they've been testing it.
Automobiles too?
At this point, it was not, because when they tested it, only the grid was tested. So you'd have to ask around in various areas where the diesel generators won't come on. You'll have to ask what happened to the traffic. And they're not leaving it off long enough to make a great impact.
I can substantiate and verify at my house at the same time Dharma was busy working on a document at the time of that pulse, which was last Saturday, around 1:20 in the afternoon, somewhere between 12:20 and 1:20, something like that. The same kind of curious electrical behavior occurred at my house, even though the computers were on isolation and various other things that should have protected them, and some items in the house were affected by the pulse, others were not. It was not your typical kind of pulse that would cause clocks to go off and blink, like electronic clocks. It was an odd array of symptoms. Plus, if you have a sensitivity towards these kinds of pulse activities, I actually felt an effect in the air of the pulse that I would describe from my background as equivalent to when a very high voltage pulse goes off in the laboratory. Most of you wouldn't have that experience, but I have, and I've also had it knock me across the room.
Yes.
So it was like that. So it was definitely not your typical flicker of the power. Another item related to this, since Commander is elected to talk a little bit about the testing that is going on, there are two other events, two other issues that are worth noting for those of you who across the country and on our tapes and radio land, I call it, might also be noticing. But I've gotten several reports of people talking about, in the daytime, the sun being hotter or feeling hotter on their skin than in the past. The temperature may be the same, but the sun feels hotter. And in the night sky, there are problems with, if you're out at night walking like I often am, you'll notice if you look up in the sky will go from being dark, where you can see a large number of stars, to being lighter, and then, as it did last evening, back to dark again, and lighter and dark. Now, in the daytime, this, and Commander can fill in or correct me on this, but my interpretation of this is because of what is being pumped into the atmosphere electronically right now, it is causing, I will call it dissolution of the molecular structure. It hasn't quite ignited the atmosphere, but it is causing a change in molecular structure so that the amount in the daytime of the sunlight that can come through and the spectral range of the sunlight, meaning how much energy on either side of what you think of as sunlight energy, is hitting you. There's more infrared on the one side of the visible light and more ultraviolet, and on the infrared side, even down as far as microwaves. And some of that from the pumping itself is coming in, and you wouldn't see it in the daytime sky because how would you tell a difference in the sky being lit up a little bit more when you have the sun up there. Now, in the night sky, it's a little easier because if in 1 5-minute interval you can see a mass array of stars and you look up 5 minutes later and half the stars aren't there because the sky has gotten a milky blue color instead of a dark blue color and then gone back again, you can be pretty sure that there is some local radio-type activity. I'll use radio waves because it's easier for you to visualize, but most of these waves are not, strictly speaking, radio waves. They're more scalar. They're more half etheric, half physical waves, but they cause photoluminescence in the sky and also cause dissolution of the molecular structure, actual breakdown of the molecular structure. Do you care to comment on any of that?
Well, anybody watching it can see it moving across almost like a wave. If you just go and watch, you can see it changing right in front of you.
As you said several months ago, it's amazing what you can see if you just go out and look for longer than 5 minutes.
Yes.
In the sky, what goes on up there. And also, I would note a larger array of both the command craft, some of them in closer. And for those of you who do go out and bother to thank the guys up there for their protection and for watching over you, you'd be surprised at what sort of hot shots will fly over you and acknowledge your mental thank you. It happens to me just about every evening. I won't call them all Ferraris, but some of them are pretty skilled and fancy pilots. And if I don't say too much, I won't get them in trouble for doing wheelies up in the sky. Anyway, with that done, there's two writings since our last meeting. One was in last week's paper, and it's from Lady Nada, and the second one is from Lanto.
Well, before you do that, so that we don't interrupt the stream of thought, make sure you read. I don't know if this is going to be put in the paper. It was put on the hotline. A real push. You people must use the benefit of what is being reported. Major size generators, diesel generators, are being moved to strategic areas. You are being warned to get at least a reasonable size generator and a year's supply of fuel for it. They plan to take you off the grid. And if you want any kind of electrical response, you're going to have to provide it yourself. So that came through. I would urge all of you to get that notice. This is a notice that this is what the government is doing, the military is doing, and you better listen. You better hearken to it. Doesn't matter if you don't want to fiddle with it, but you're going to be without electricity off and on. You're not going to be able to find it dependable. Well, that's a risk you run. So many are suggesting gas and butane capabilities, gasoline or natural gas and butane capabilities for running your system. Gasoline. These generators and motor coaches run on gasoline. Diesel, of course, is your safest and your best bet. But when you start calculating what you use in a house and whether or not you want your systems all going down, your computer's going blank because of lack of power, you better start considering it now, because that's in the plan and you've been warned. Also, the other thing I want to tell you is what went on the hotline, I'm sure. Carol and Carrie live in an area where, and she works with airlines, etc., so she sees what's going on, and then she listens, because she listens with a rather trained ear. And a C-130 took off from their area, completely loaded with equipment and backup volunteer people, to go to Atlanta this last week. And they plan to be gone until about the 7th, I think. So what in the world are they pulling in C-130s loaded with? Keep your eyes and ears open. And now go ahead, unless you want to comment on it.
Well, I would just add that the C-130 was not only loaded to the hilt, but the most important part, significant part of that, is that it was the crack team that went in after the Oklahoma City bombing. So there are two other teams from elsewhere around the country who are also being sent into Atlanta until the 8th of August. In other words, these are people who are experts at searching rubble through large buildings that have been bombed, and they're all being sent to Atlanta. Not only that, these are volunteer teams, so these people had to take off work, and they were asked or ordered, we're not sure which, by FEMA to do this. So you put that collection of vegetable soup together and you get an interesting picture.
And I believe that you're going to find, according to, they kind of slide over it as if this is just a wonderful backup something. I believe they call it the Phoenix Project or the Phoenix Team or something like that.
Yes, they did.
Well, Commander, excuse me a second. I've heard a rumor from a source I trust personally. I don't know what his source was.
That they're moving food into the detainment camps, or whatever you want to call it?
Yes. Making them fully operational.
Okay, before I begin the Lady Nada writing, which is from July 27th, I'd ask Commander, this is a question that we of the editorial staff wanted to ask you, Commander, because several of us, when we hear the name Lady Nada as one of the Rainbow Masters, one of the Ascended Masters, we hear it. I hear it. Princeton hears it as Lady Nadia, as if there was a Y or an I in it. Now, are we incorrect, or is there a certain pronunciation that we don't capture in the English language very well?
If you were pronouncing it in Spanish, you would have your little thing over it.
Yes.
So I guess either way would be correct. In English, you would not, and I call that Nada.
Okay. Well, we did it, Lady Nada, in the paper last week, but it was a difficult decision because I kept hearing it as Nadia, and I wasn't sure what was correct.
Be very, very kind to Nada. She's very, very special to me. Very special to me.
I will start with the editor's note at the beginning. I just prefaced it a little bit with the following writing is by the Ascended Master, known as Lady Nada of the Sixth Rose Ray, among the seven great Rainbow Masters communicating at this time to help us through Urshan's planetary transition and rebalancing. In that journal, that is the Rainbow Master's journal, Lady Nada refers to herself thusly: I come in the chosen sixth ray of refraction. My aspect is most pleasured within the third ray, the pink, loving warmth of the third ray of divine love. Now we'll start writing. Greetings, old friend. I am Lady Nada of the ascended spectrum of guides and teachers. I come in the radiance of the one light. Be at peace, my scribe, we shall do just fine. Mankind on your planet is in great need of spiritual balance. These messages are for any who will hear and listen. And then she inserted a parenthetical comment because of all that was going on trying to stop this writing. She says, much is happening to cause you to lose the signal. The dark side does not want this message to go forth. They wish to cast doubt within so that you might give up. Do not allow them this. And, of course, the writing went on. They lost, but I left it in because it is an important caution for anybody who is receiving messages to be aware that this happens. She goes on, there is a feminine aspect of Creator that the male forms often have trouble with. Creator is neither male nor female. The mother-father principle of creation allows for a self-propagating play that can continue to evolve and grow. This ever-changing and evolving physical play is where you ones are now. You have volunteered to go down there and participate for various reasons. For some, it is to balance out past indiscretions, karmic debts if you must. For some, it is to learn and grow from the opportunities and experiences available. While for others, it is to heal themselves. You cannot know the reasons for each person's choice. I, Lady Nada, represent the feminine aspect of Creator's expression. I am most often associated with your body's solar plexus energy center. This is the energy pathway for the emotional energy that you once feel. The females of your third dimensional expression have a more sensitive and slightly more complex solar plexus region. This is because they accommodate the gestation of new life. When the baby is in the womb, it resides behind, actually right in the center of, the solar plexus energy center in the abdominal area. This nurturing emotional energy is necessary for the healthy growth of the child. Without this energy, the child could not and would not grow. Note, please, that even the umbilical cord attaches in this area to the baby. There are reasons for all the things you ones can witness in nature. In your society, it is looked upon as a weakness for men to show emotion or emotional release. This causes a great unbalance within, especially for the more advanced souls who return as the guides and way-showers. It is not natural to hold back the emotional pressures of pain, grief, or sadness. Do you once suppress joy when you feel it? How about anger? No, not usually. Then why would you suppress the natural feelings and expressions of pain, grief, or sadness? This is yet another adversarial ploy to create an internal unbalanced condition. Usually the suppression of any emotional expression whatsoever will cause a great internal pressure, a stress, that continues to build up until it reaches a point of volatility, wherein one explodes with an emotional outburst. Most often this explosion is of a violent physical nature. This, in turn, compounds the problem and creates more guilt-induced emotional pain and frustration. This problem is not limited to the male expressions on that planet. However, they are the ones most often hardest hit. You ones must begin to see that you have allowed this perception and belief that a man must be strong and never cry, for such is a sign of weakness. No, this thinking is what causes the unbalance within. Fathers often, when they see their sons of, let's say, 10 years or older crying, will usually punish them for crying. The father scolds, I will give you something to cry about. Or, what am I raising, a bunch of girls, sissies? Thus expressing the mental attitude that instills this kind of emotional suppression. Most often, it is the very same father who feels guilty for having hurt his son's feelings and who doesn't know how to say, "I am sorry," and give the hug to the child who needs, in a nurturing manner, the emotional balancing energies. This causes great emotional confusion, and eventually the child will learn to avoid the source of the confusion and will shut down inside the emotional expression of his being. Children are so very giving in their nature, they are constantly trying to please their parents in a manner which allows them to re-give that which the parents have given to them. Usually, because the father has himself shut down to a great extent, the children will gravitate to mother, for she usually gives more freely the emotional nurturings that father doesn't usually emanate. Thus, father begins to feel rejected by his children, not understanding why, and thus not seeing that he himself is to blame for causing the pulling away. Mom then has to provide more and more of the emotional food, and in turn becomes more and more drained. Meanwhile, father receives less and less attention, energy, from the rest of his family,